Heyo, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Gianluca Matarisi's gentle documentary, Jen, opens with overwhelming images of planets and stars. Or are they cells and aspects of human biology? As we lean into the screen, curious about what we're seeing, the title, Jen, that's G-E-N with an underscore, flits on screen with the rotation appendage of the possible word creations, genesis, genitals, genetics, generation, genealogy, gender, genes. Overlaying this is a chaos of noise and radio chatter from around the globe. European figures discuss trans rights, while American voices talk about reproductive rights. The message is clear. Women's bodies are being controlled globally. Gianluca asks us to consider the weight of these words and these voices momentarily before he introduces us to Dr. Beeny, a kind, considerate and ageing doctor near retirement. Dr. Beeny works in Milan's LaGuardia Public Hospital, tending to patients who are undergoing reproductive technology procedures or gender confirmation surgery. Over the next 100 or so minutes, Gianluca observes quietly and lets Dr. Beeny, his patient, and the transitory hospital he works in speak for themselves. Jen is a considerate and kind documentary which premiered at Sundance, and it stands as a beacon of recognition for the power of advocacy in medical fields for those who may not be able to stand up for themselves in the face of cruel and controlling legislation. Dr. Beeny talks through the possibility of care with his patients, noting that for some, that reproductive technology at a certain age might be risky or blocked, or that gender confirmation procedures might be restricted. And in doing so, he speaks through the avenues for care, treatment, and support, including visiting other countries for that specific support. Jen feels like somebody resting a hand on the shoulder of those in need. It is shot in such a patient and kind manner, with Gianluca sitting in silence in doctor's appointments with Dr. Beeny and his patients, quietly observing and letting the words and the weight of the sound of empathy linger in the air. Notably as well, Giorgia Villa's editing creates a conversation between these appointments, ensuring that the impact of one patient's journey is felt on another's, someone they may never have even met. In the following interview, Gianluca talks about how the documentary came about, and the notion of documentary film as a form of advocacy, plus much more. Jen screened at the 2025 Sundance Film Festival, and I was lucky to be able to watch this prior to the festival and record this interview prior to the festival. Please seek out Gianluca's work, and if you are eager to, visit his website, which is gianlucamatarisi.com, for more details. I'll make sure to stick a link in the show notes. If you also want to find out more about the work that we do on The Curb, then please head over to thecurb.com.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. And if you can and you have the means to support us, then please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to support our work from as little as $1 a month. Right, there is no trailers for Jen at the moment, so I'm just going to play a little bit of music ahead of the chat with Gianluca Matarisi. Like a gift. It feels like something that is really quite a tender gift to audiences. How did you come to this particular story?
It wasn't my idea at the beginning, because I collaborated on this film with Donatella Della Latta. She's a professor of John Cabot University in Rome. She's an anthropologist, a very good friend of mine. She actually wanted to write, she's still writing a book about this topic, capitalism of bodies and all these procedures with in transgender assignment and also procreation. fertility techniques. So she wanted to really have a dialogue between these two worlds. And she also had an experience herself with the procreation. And she's a very good friend of mine. And she had her gynecologist in Rome advising her to meet this doctor in Milan. He said to her, "He's amazing. You will see. It will be very interesting to interview him." And then whenever she met him for the first time, she called me right away. She told me, "Why don't you come with me? Because I think this is a..." Because she knows my cinema. She knows my way of working. She said, "I think you will find something interesting for you in here." And this is a kind of magic, because as soon as I met him, I came with my camera already, because I do that very often. It's more character study at the beginning, because I need to film a little bit and shoot in order to write my dossiers and write, you know, the treatments and convince producers and financiers. So you need to have some footage. And very often that footage that I use for studying, it becomes the film. It's very, very common in my way of proceeding. And this is what happened. The first day I arrived, I started filming one morning, like the first 10 patients that I filmed. And we finished the morning with Donatella, and we said, "I think this is the film." It's very, very, it was very, let's say, surprisingly quickly, we understood which was our position in the film and which was interesting in the film. I thought right away that what I was interested in was the exchange itself, the relationship with the doctor, and not the stories, just the stories of the patients and who they are outside of the hospital, or what is the hospital about, or the rest of the service that I shot because I was there. In the editing process at the beginning, there was a moment where I was also exploring other places in the service, the psychologist, or also the andrologist, urologist, all the other, you know, phases of these paths. And then at the end, I thought that I had to go back to my first feeling that I had the first day I came there. And it was this privileged place that I had to witness the exchange, and in a very comfort zone, because the patients they were aware of our presence. So it's not spying, it's not voyeuristic. But at the same time, we needed to leave them the space, comfort space, to be with the doctor. So I think it wasn't just the doctor, it wasn't just the patient, it was the relationship. And I think I got the film pretty quickly. And I really, because I came home the first day and I was like, "I think I have the film already," which is kind of magic. And I think I thought to myself, this is really, really clear to me. And I was completely shocked by all the questions that I had while I was witnessing to these stories, questions that I never thought about, doubts, and also some prejudices sometimes you can have listening to, you know, being out in the world and approaching these topics, especially in Italy. So all these prejudices that your mind has in the back over here, especially us Italians with the church, the Catholicism, you know, and the good, our politics, they're all there all the time. So you ask yourself questions and they come to your mind kind of naturally. And I came back home and I was like, "Oh my God, this is so intense." And it was just one morning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so powerful, right? But we get the understanding from the interactions that the doctors have with the patients, that this is just about, it's about a lot of things, but it's particularly about advocacy as well, about doctors advocating for the right treatment for patients. And I'm curious if, as a documentarian, you see yourself as an extension of that advocacy. Is this film a point of advocacy? Do you see documentaries being, political advocacy or social advocacy as well?
That's an interesting question, because we always try not to take positions in a film and not to give a judgment, either ways. But of course, it's your look, your gaze, it's my point of view on the world. And of course, I had my opinions. What I really appreciated is not talking about politics. It's how this doctor has as a main vocation, main call, the good for the patient. And you can find all ways, even illegal ways. He never says illegally, but he says it goes flexible ways to I don't know how to say in
well
English.
To navigate, yeah, to navigate again, through the legal system, yeah.
Legal systems, and in order to make it look like it's legal. And I think this should be the call of every doctor. So the good doctor, this is the right doctor. So this is for me the main thing that I would like to support. And of course, sometimes he's also borderlines in his way of looking at the world. He had sometimes some views that could be very conservative sometimes, or very Catholic sometimes, or the way he speaks about women sometimes is very funny. And I haven't put everything in the film. Sometimes you're like, oh my God, what is he saying? What is he saying? I think the attitude he has towards the call of the doctor is the advocacy that I would like to support with this film. It's what also the public, I don't know in Australia how it is, the public health system, but in the United States is a different way, but how the public system should work. Even the contradiction is this is happening in a very Catholic region, governed by Comunione Liberazione. It's the really religious Catholic party, in a way, in a very extreme right-winged country. And in this context, we have a miracle place. It's a little miracle place where we celebrate, in a way, the public system. This is all public. The cures are paid by the state, by the government, for all of them. So it is actually, this is my advocacy. It will be like celebrating the right call for a doctor. And even when he's also teaching to the newcomer, the future of the doctors, is also a little bit of a transmission. There's also transmission in that. How two generations of being a doctor talk to each other, and how is the passation of the, how you pass the knowledge and the experience to someone else. So these are the things that, and of course, then through the lens of all this, you can find maybe the politics, of course. It's a very political film, of course. But I wouldn't say, I was very scared of talking about politically in a frontal way. Of course, I've used the radio stations at the beginning of the film where he's listening to the radio with what is the context in Italy. I think it was important to have that context. And at the beginning of the film when you have all the radios from all around the world, it was like Europe, Germany, Denmark, and Spain. And I wanted to look like it's a little spaceship, this place going like in Star Wars through the universe, and you have all these different planets with different rules, and you're intercepting all these different rules, different radios of other planets. Every planet has its own way of dealing with these topics, and then we land in Italy. So that was a little bit of my intention at the beginning. I don't know if it was clear.
Yeah, no, I loved it. But then I also, I mean, I hesitate to call this a spoiler, but then we see later on there is this moment where Dr. Beeny's walking through the forest and he comes upon the body of a dead deer. And mm-hmm. I love the placement of that, because it's almost as if you're saying, no matter what we've done, we all end up in the same place, right? No matter what lives we live, as you're saying, we're with these different planets and different existences, we're all different places, but we all end up the same, and it's totally. And we all return to nature, and I found again totally. that's the gift of this film. It's beautiful.
Because I had the idea when I was filming in the laboratory, the microscopic world, you know, and they looked at me, I was like, oh my God, it looks like the universe. And of course, when you go to micro, it looks like the micro, it looks like the macro. And then, of course, the nature also that is inviting us to witness to it is nature, is related to nature and his retreat in the mountain, the mushrooms, and it was completely related to the film because it's all about science and nature, and then of course it's a cycle in the editing, and we decided to start with this and to end with that, the same thing, and yes, the last shot, almost the last shot, is life and death. We are all part of this big. It's not creationist, as you say. It's not that I wanted to be talking about God or whatever. But it's more nature. It's more. How do you say that? I don't know.
Well, it's organic in a way, you know.
Yeah,
But you're allowing audiences to bring their own truth to the film, right?
And
you're
it's more Walt Disney reference, probably. It's like the circle of life in the jungle.
In the forest. Well, one of the other things which I appreciate as well is one of the patients says, we have problems, but we are not theories. And I found the placement of that is really beautiful, because especially with the editing with Georgia, who does the scenes, they comment on one another, effectively having a conversation between patients, or between the way that patients are going through their own transition and the building itself is going through a transition. It's this big conversation, and then it comes back to this notion that we are not theories. And I guess this leans back to the question about advocacy, because I know that you've done films before about queer stories, and this is ostensibly a queer story. And I'm curious about the drive for you in being able to show this, the transition, you know, that people are not theories, that they are real people. How important is that for you as a storyteller to be able to show that queer lives exist and deserve the space to grow and be people?
Yeah, it is for me. I want it to be more political than before, because usually, especially when it comes to transition stories, I've been jury, for example, in many queer film festivals, and I've seen many, many, many films on these topics. Sometimes it comes to going straight to the pain, straight to the personal journey, where sometimes even from the personal point of view, and even the main character is telling the story, sometimes I feel like I'm voyeuristic. I am like observing this pain. Sometimes I'm like, oh, it's not my pain, so poor thing. And I wanted to give them a political status to these transition stories. It's not just about showing all the time. I mean, we're not just connected to human stories through the pain or through the. I wanted to look like she's the girl talking. She's saying political things. She's saying, trans body is a political body, and it's where all kind of war comes on that topic. I wanted them to have a voice about that, and also showing how administratively, legally complicated could be the journey. And it's not just about your father's acceptance, or when you find out you were not. I wanted to have this the company you can have from the medical staff. There are places where you can be took charge, you can be pris en charge, as you say. You can be accompanied, and they can help you financially to go through it. Places where you can also have psychological accompaniment. But then there's also something very contradictory that came to my mind when I was watching that in order to have that financed by the state, you also have to admit to the state, to the political environment, that you have a problem, you are sick in a way. You have dysphoria, gender dysphoria. So despite all the, how do you say, fights all the trans people have to show the world this is not us being sick, at the end of the day, in order to be helped by a system, you need to show, you need to define yourself with the illness in order to be,
which
to
is
be
a contradiction. Yeah, it's a contradiction. Yeah.
So at the beginning, I think that, which is something completely utopic, but we will need to not to have any more the difference between gender in general, you know what I'm saying? Because he's always talking, the doctor is always talking about the normative world. It's the normative world that we have to change in a way. The fact that you need to have on your identity card, the he, she, or your gender, maybe you don't need to have that on a ID. You know what I'm saying? So it goes very, very far from, it's a big fight. But at least with these stories, I wanted to show how complicated with the administration, bureaucracy, and where the pain comes from is not just the personal story, or it's also about, you know, the environment, the world around us. I wanted to put my look, not from the inside, not from outside the hospital in your room, but really opening the story to a bigger, wider angle. I don't know if it's clear. My English.
Oh no, very, very clear. Again, my partner and I, we watched this the other night, and we were just both moved, and we both have medical issues, not in the like, and not in a gender way, but just, you know, living chronic illness and things like that. And yet we've never encountered a doctor who has allowed us to really sit there and talk about ourselves in the way that Dr. Binney does. And that then also acts as an extension for you as a filmmaker, allowing people to have the space to tell their stories on screen. Again, it's a gift.
Yeah, I always like in my films, all my films, I think also the one that I like to watch and the one that I make, you start from the very private, probably story to go larger, in a larger scale, to talk about the world. In my film that it's called The Last Chapter, La Dernière Séance, the one I won the Queer Award for in Venice Film Festival.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I talked about the HIV crisis in the 80s through the practices of a BDSM master, and the film was our relationship. I was his last slave before he's retiring to a retirement. In war, he's also retiring from sex practices. So it's kind of a funny angle to talk about HIV crisis. In the 80s, all this, the pain of the community went through, we never talk about, and young people or people from other generations, they really don't talk about. So it's not about the pain itself. We're not going to explore the story, the private story itself, but I use different ways of, I think the relationship, for me, cinema is a relationship. So in the film, the relationship was the story, and there, you have then the portrait of an era, of a period in the world. And this is the same way in this film, the portrait of an era, of an epoch, through the stories of exchanges. So I like, because it's not a thesis. I'm not a politician. I'm not an anthropologist. And I'm a filmmaker. I like stories. I made a film about my family going through a financial crisis. And then I was talking about the economy in 2018 in Italy, through the crisis of the family. I was talking about the crisis of the entire country. So, but I'm not a politician, I'm an economist. If you ask me to exchange about that, I would be like, I made the film. Because otherwise I'm really scared with this film, Jen, to talk about these topics. Because nowadays you don't know what to say, how to talk about these topics. So the politically correctness and also It's very scary for me, and then I'm not a really specialist in any of those fields.
But so, I guess it comes back to the, as you're saying, you're focusing on the micro, and then it makes it bigger, right? And in many ways, I feel the film speaks for itself, and you've been very eloquent with me, and have given wonderful answers, and I really appreciate the discussion we've had, and I appreciate the film. I need to seek out your other work. I'm not sure if they're available in Australia or not, but I desperately want to seek them out because I just love the way that you see the world.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. This is, I mean, I love documentaries, and I knew immediately that I was going to be in for something. You were going to take us on a walk, and effectively that's what you do here. You take us on a journey and you say, look at this, consider this, look at that, think about that. And it's not you trying to talk for anybody else. It's you letting other people talk for themselves and giving them the space to talk for themselves. And that's what, it works so well. I'm confident that people will respond to it well.
I see on your bookshelf you have Agnès Varda.
I do, yes.
And this is one of my main references in general, because she always used to say, you need to love what you film. And this is an act of love, usually. I'm filming, sometimes people are complicated or big egos. I've done that. But there's a way you never judge anyone. And there's a reason why I'm filming these people, because I project myself and in them, you really love who you're filming. That's the first reason why you're doing this work.
That's a beautiful way to wrap up. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to this chat with Jen with the Macarusa and Please Documentary Jen, which started at the 2025 Sundance Film Festival. To keep track of his work, visit jenwithmacarusa.com, and to check out other interviews on The Curb, visit thecurb.com.au. I'll see you on the next one.